Is better. No doubt about that. Amen. You know, the pastor mentioned about reading through the Bible, and you ought to do that. And it is possible to read through the entire Bible
in 1 month. I can testify of that. It does take discipline, but it can be done. But as you're reading through the Bible, you let the Bible flow through you. Heard about this grandfather, had his grandson there. They gave his grandson a wicker basket. And he said, "Son, I want you to go down to the river and fill this basket up with water and bring it back to me." "Sure, Grandpa." And with all the energy of that young man, he goes down to the river and scoops up water into the basket and brings it back. And of course, a wicker basket, the time he got back, was gone. And the grandpa said, "Son, I told you, fill this up with water and bring it back." "But Grandpa, I did." He says, "Well, you best go do it again." He goes, "All right." And he goes down to the river again, and he takes that wicker basket and he pushes it in the water, comes running back fast. "Grandpa, it's gone." "So, well, son, do it again and hurry." And again he goes down to the river, takes that wicker basket, and he fills it up, and as fast as he can, runs back and gives it to his grandpa, but it's empty. And grandpa takes that wicker basket, holds it up to the sunlight, and says, "Yeah, I reckon that's clean enough now. Thank you, son." Have you ever felt when you read through the Bible, you just don't remember it? It kind of there, then gone. But the Bible says as it goes through you, it cleanses you. That basket couldn't retain the water, but the water cleansed it. Did not Jesus say, "Ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you"? Let the word of God flow through you and cleanse you. We live in a terrible society of dirt and profanity and wickedness today. And we need to be a clean people before the Lord. Take your Bibles this morning, if you will, to our Bible passage found in the book of Psalms, number 40. Psalms, number 40. Many times a preacher is not going to teach you something that you don't know. As a matter of fact, Paul wrote to the churches, and many times he said to them, "I put you in remembrance. I taught you this before, but I want to remind you of it again." Coming to church is not always gaining some new knowledge. Epicureans were like that. They always wanted to learn about something new. But folks, sometimes we need to remember the old. And I've often reminded, since, I don't know about your memory, but I have an excellent memory. It's just short, but it's really good. But it's kind of like that. Those two elderly couples that were going out to dinner together. The fellow sat in the front and the lady sat in the back so they can converse with each other a little easier. And one fellow leans over to the other and says, "Hey, have you been to any good restaurants lately?" He says, "Oh, yeah, we were at a great restaurant last week. Oh, the atmosphere was beautiful. The food was delicious. The portions were generous and the prices were reasonable." He says, "Really? What restaurant was that?" He said, "What's the name of that flower that's got a stem and thorns on it?" And he goes, "Rose." Yeah. "Hey, Rose, what's the name of that restaurant where he went?" But there are some things we need to be reminded of in our life. In Psalm 40, David said, "I waited patiently. I waited patiently." I could never, in all honesty, pen those words. To wait patiently for the Lord. "And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. He had put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Our churches have changed over the years. We have incorporated many of the modern conveniences. There were times when there was no electricity in our churches. Folks would burn kerosene lamps or candles for illumination of the services. There were times when there was no indoor plumbing in our churches, but they had separate little houses out in the back. There were times when we didn't have carpet. We didn't have central heat nor air conditioning. But our churches have changed over the years. And quite frankly, I think these changes are very good. I enjoy indoor plumbing. But there's one thing that's missing sometimes that we just don't see a whole lot of. I'm talking about the old-fashioned testimony meetings. I'm talking about a time when the preacher didn't do the preaching, but he just paused. And he said, who has a word of testimony of God's goodness and God's grace? And I don't know how it is around here, but sometimes said, well, anybody have any testimonies? It's like people stop breathing. It's like they sit there and freeze. It's like their mind wanders. Is there something I can give a testimony about? Folks, it ought not to be that way. If anything, when there's a testimony time, you could always stand to your feet and say, I thank God that he saved my soul so many years ago and he's kept me saved. I thank God for his mercy and his good. Why are we so quiet in our testimony? Are we embarrassed to say the Lord has been good unto me? Hey, the devil's crowd, they're not ashamed to say things, are they? And they're not ashamed to shout things, and they're not ashamed to walk with placards and marches and everything for their evil deeds. But yet God's people in the house of the Lord just find it hard to respond to a testimony time. Maybe you feel that maybe we don't have the right words or what to say. You could just thank God for his goodness and then sit down. In our passage of Scripture, David is given a testimony. He is telling the world what God did for him. And by the way, your testimony, you think, well, I don't have much of a testimony. I wasn't a gangster. I wasn't a murderer. I wasn't a bank robber. I don't really have. A young lady came to me at camp one day, and she said to me, she said, Brother Susan, I don't have a testimony. Now, I knew the young lady. I was sure she was a Christian. I said, what do you mean? I said, I don't have a testimony. Are you saved? Oh, yeah, yeah, I'm saved, but I just don't have a testimony. I said, what do you mean? She says, well, I was saved when I was a young child, I think 5 or 6 years old, and I never drank, I never smoked, I never swore, I never went wrong with the wrong crowd. And I mean, I know I have sinned and disobeyed my parents and lied, but that's not much of a testimony. I want to tell you something, folks. You don't have to be good to give praise to God for being saved. And sometimes we get to thinking, well, oh, here's a gangster. He was saved. And here's a crooked politician, and they got saved. And here's a murderer, and he got saved. Oh, what a testimony. I'm going to tell you something. You might not have gone through all of that, but your testimony is just as great as theirs. And you don't have to be bad in order to be good, to have a testimony for our God. And maybe you didn't live a life like they did, but you would have gone to the same hell that they went to. And the blood of Jesus washed away your sins. Aren't you glad for that today? David is given his testimony. He loved to tell what the Lord did for him. He said there was a time in his life when he needed help. I waited patiently for the Lord. And maybe God has not always answered your prayer in a timely manner. And maybe you are praying, and it seems like the windows of heaven are shut up, that God is deaf to your cry, And David said, I'm not going to quit praying. I waited patiently. And he says, and the Lord inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. God's ear is open to you this morning. And I realize that my calendar is different than God's calendar. And I realize that God has a time schedule to answer prayer that's different than my time schedule to answer prayer. And there have been many times I'd come before the Lord and I said, Lord, that bill's due tomorrow. Wait patiently for the Lord. And David said, here's what God did for me. I waited on the Lord. He heard my cry. And what did he do? Verse 2. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. He saw his life as being in the pit that was so deep he couldn't climb out. So wide he couldn't get out. There was no hope. He was down in that hole of despair, much like the world tonight. In the pit of sin. Seeing no hope. No way out. Not only was he in the pit, but he said here, I was just out of the miry clay. Not only was in a hole, but he said, I couldn't even stand up. Every time I tried to stand up, I would slip and fall and go back down. With a picture of humanity across the world, and especially in America, the horrible pit of sin, the horrible pit of iniquity, of the guilt, of the shame, of the despair, and the consequences of breaking the laws of God, in that horrible pit. And so many see no way out except to check out of life. But suicide is never God's answer. There's never a problem God cannot solve. Somebody once said that suicide is a permanent answer, a permanent solution to a temporary problem. There's no problem God cannot bring you through. A woman came to me at testimony time after the service. She came to me and she said, Brother Susan, I want you to know. She said, 30 years ago, I tried to kill myself. I saw no hope. I saw no way out. And I thought, I'm just going to end it all. She said, I tried killing myself, but I failed. She said, I lived with that guilt for 30 years. I never forgave myself. Of trying to take the life that God gave to me. I could never bring myself to a place of forgiveness, she said, until tonight, when the guilt is washed away and I found God's grace, forgiveness sufficient for all things. David said, I'm in that horrible pit. I can't get out. There's no help. There's no hope. And there's no solid foundation for my feet. Every time I try to get up, I fall back down. Every time I try to accomplish something, I fail again. And no doubt he might have been ready to give up and just to die in that pit. Ah, but then something happened. While he was in that pit, he says, God didn't leave me. He brought me out. A hand reached down for me with a nail prick in. Pulled me out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And then notice what he said. What did he do? He said he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And what did he do? He set my feet on a rock. Much different than the miry clay. How many today have no foundation in their life? They build their dreams on shadows. They build their hopes on the fleeting promises of men. No solid foundation. Jesus gave the illustration of two men that were building a house. You know these stories. And he said two men were building a house. One man built a house, and he built his house upon a rock, a solid foundation, if you will. And then the storms came, and the winds blew, and the rains came down, and the floods came up and beat against that house, but it stood firm. But then there was another man. He didn't build on a solid foundation. He built upon, Jesus said, a foundation of sand. Oh, maybe he thought, I'm not going to spend my time and money on a foundation. Nobody looks at the foundation. Did anybody check the foundation of this building today? I didn't. But without it, we're on shaky ground. I'm not going to bother with that. I'm just going to put my money into everything. I'm going to buy fancier lights, and I'm going to buy fancier windows, and I'm going to get more plush carpet, and I'm going to get the finest of marble. I'm not going to put that money into a foundation. And a lot of people are building their lives and their homes and their families on all the superstructure, but there's no solid foundation. And then the storms come of life. The problems start beating against that house. The rains of despair fall. And the floods of disappointment rise up. And because there's no foundation, the houses collapse. Your homes, your marriage need the foundation of Jesus Christ. Your individual lives need the foundation of Jesus Christ. Because the storms will come. The winds of despair will blow. And the floods of adversary will come upon you. That is why our divorce courts are full. Because there's no foundation to the marriage. That is why the rebellion of our children against parents is there, because of no foundation. But he said, when he brought me up out of that horrible pit, praise God, he set my feet upon that rock, and that rock is Jesus Christ. How often are we saying, rock of ages, cleft for me? How often saying, I'm on the rock to stand, hallelujah. Or on Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking, what? Sand. That rock is Jesus Christ. And a life that's built on Jesus, a home that's built on Jesus, a ministry that's built on Jesus will withstand the storms of life. It won't make you immune to them, but it will protect you. But a house built on the fleeting sands of this world will surely collapse. He said, not only that, he said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, and he said, he established my goings. In other words, he gave me purpose and direction in my life. Do you know why you're living? You have a direction in your life. I'm not talking, oh yeah, I want to become the CEO of the company, or I want to rise up on the corporate ladder, or I want to get a promotion. I want to have a better career. Is that your goal? Is that the direction of your life? God has a better plan for you. God has a direction he wants to bring you in your life to establish your goings. God has a will for you here. God has a plan for you. I don't care who you are here. Makes no difference your background. Makes no difference your education. It makes no difference what your intelligent level might be. It makes no difference what your financial abilities are. God has a plan for you. Now, sometimes I guess as we get older, we say, well, I don't know why God keeps me around. I can't do what I used to do, and I can't be what I used to be in the church, and I don't know, I'm just not useful anymore. Such is the lie of the devil. The fact that you're still breathing air is the fact that God has a plan for you. And he's not done with you yet. When he's done with you, you'll go home. Isn't that where you go? After you finish work, and you clock out work, your shift is done, where do you go? You go where? Home. And when our work is done, we'll go home. But our job is not done yet. That's why we are here. He said, he established my goings. Who will you allow to direct your life? This has seemed to have been the theme all weekend. Who will you allow to direct your life? Can I again, church, can I again address the young people? I just love them. I talk to them. Concerned for you. There's such a life ahead of you. And God has a plan for you. But I have to warn you, so does the devil. God has a plan, and the devil says, yeah, I got a plan too. The devil's going to do everything he can to turn you from God's way to his way. He can't make you do it. That is your choice to make. And so it is in our life. Will you accept God's way? Well, how do I know God's way? Right here. The Bible. You know, there are some things just not right for a Christian to do. Do you know there are some things just not right for a Christian to be to partake of? Because they belong to God and not the world. Christians are not better than anyone. We're just different. We have somebody directing the pathway of our life. And he said, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings. And then you know what? He gave me something new to sing about. Isn't it good singing about Jesus? What does the world sing about? Listen to the worldly music if you dare. What do they sing about? Wretchedness, illicit sex, drugs, murder, violence, sorrow, heartbreak. There's no joy there. But when you get saved, God puts a new song in your heart. And we can sing about things we never sung about before. A new song unto our God. Many shall see it and shall trust in the Lord because of the joy of a Christian. Islamic man. I've been dealing with Islamic people. And I came across an Islamic man that now is a Christian. He had turned to Christ and become a believer in Jesus. He said two things influenced him the most about Christians. One was the joy they had when they were in church. How they would sing. And how they lift their voice up in song. And just joy. He said, there's no joy in Islam. There's no happiness in Islam. It is all fear. But Christians had joy. And they would sing with their heart. He did admit they all didn't sing good. And that is okay. Don't you worry about how your voice sounds and to some. You're singing under Jesus. And if you sing bad, I want to stand next to you. We'll do a duet. He said, the joy of the song, singing of Christians. And then he said, the second thing was the hope that they had. We have no hope. Islam offers no hope of eternity. Our greatest fear, and this is what he told me. He said, our greatest fear is that on judgment day, Allah is not in a bad mood. For if Allah's in a bad mood, the whole world would be gone to hell. He said, but Christians have an assurance, a confidence of their eternal destiny. You see, David's testimony is just like that. I was in a horrible pit of sin. I was in the miry clay. But he brought me out and he set my feet upon the rock. He gave me a purpose to live for, a direction to go in my life. I have meaning. I have desire. I have a goal worthy of heaven. And then he gave me something new to sing about. I don't have to sing about the cares of the world. I can sing about Jesus. Someone once said, I'm preaching from this, it says, he brought me up, he set me up, and he tuned me up. What a testimony that is. But I want you to notice that this man got a healing. Not a healing of his body, but a healing of his soul and of his heart. Folks, doctors may be able to fix your heart, fix your lungs, maybe take out a disease and cure others, but only Jesus can cure a broken heart. And so many today have broken hearts. Didn't that Jesus said, I've come to heal the brokenhearted? And he knows that people are hurting, and maybe you are too. Maybe there's a sorrow upon your heart today that God wants to lift. They brought a man to Jesus. They couldn't get to see him because the house was full. You remember they cut a hole in the roof and they let him down. And the first thing Jesus said to him, said, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Jesus, we didn't bring him here for that. He can't walk. He needs new legs. No, but he needs Jesus first. He needs salvation first. That's what the world needs tonight. Maybe that's what somebody in this auditorium needs tonight. I say tonight because I'm used to preaching revival night time, but it's okay. It's almost afternoon, so it's p.m. And maybe today you just say, I need a burden lifted. I need a healing of my heart and a healing of my soul. You don't have to hurt anymore. You can let God heal you if you yield to him. For Jesus is the great physician. Jesus is the one that could take your burden today. But not only did he get a healing, he got help. Listen, folks. In this world, you can't make it alone. You need help. What did David say? From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord. You need God to help you this morning. Would you admit that you need God's help? Would you admit today, Lord, I need you? Every year I have a theme song that I adopt for the year. Last year was, Lord, I need you. When the storms of life are raging, Lord, and when the storms of life are calm, seas of life are calm, I need you. It brought me through some hard times when I would confess, Lord, I need you. There's someone here this morning that will say, Lord, I need you. I need your help. He wants to give it to you. If you'll only receive it and respond to it today. The man also received hope. People have no hope today. What can you hope in? Can you hope in government programs? Can you hope in friends and neighbors? They fail you every time. But I'm going to tell you something. When you put your hope in the Lord, you'll never be disappointed. When you can put your trust in God and just say, I don't understand it, but Lord, I'll put my hand in yours and I'm going to follow your ways to have hope. I might have told you I'm not going to go through the entire story, but I'll never forget those two girls. Hearing about those two girls that were at a camp, a youth camp. They had come to camp and they made a suicide pact with each other. Both their lives were disastrous. They were abused at home. They come from broken homes, drinking alcohol. The mothers had different men in at all different times, and fathers were abusive, and they just had just no hope. They kind of gravitated together because they were in the same circumstances, so they brought a rope with them to camp, youth camp, Bible camp. The camp is located on the Delaware River. And one night, they were planning to sneak out, tie that rope around each other, and both of them jump into the river because they saw no hope. But bless God, the night before, an old preacher stood behind that pulpit with an old-fashioned Bible talking about God's power and God's grace and God's deliverance and God's plan for their life. And then they saw it. That God had a plan for their life. That night they come and they wept, repented, and gave their heart anew unto God. Every camp usually has a testimony time, the last night of camp, when those that have gotten saved will stand up and give testimony. They formed a line and these two girls come walking down the aisle holding that rope, one on one end and one on the other. People thought that was kind of strange. But when it came time for them to go to the microphone, they stood there. These two young girls looked at each other, holding the ends of the rope. They gave the story I just told you. And they said, last night we got, for the first time in our life, we got hope. They says, we won't be needing this anymore. And they threw it on the floor. Maybe you're not as desperate as that, but you still need help. Would you seek it from God this morning? Would you ask God to help you? And I don't mean say, oh, Lord, help me. But I mean, Lord, teach me thy ways that I may please you, that you may help me to walk the pathway of righteousness in life. You need help. But the best part about it all, the best part about it all, is David got heaven at the end. He got a healing of his soul. He had a hope of his life. He had heaven at the end. It doesn't get any better than that, folks. All of this and heaven too. I don't know your relationship with Jesus Christ this morning, but I do know what the Bible says. The Bible teaches us, and the Bible will teach you, that everyone is born in sin. There's not a person in this room that can claim righteousness before God. You have broken God's law. You know you have. To deny it will make you a liar. But God will be true and every man a liar. You've broken God's law. You've had impure thoughts. You did some unkind deeds. You've broken the law of God. And the law of God demands justice. But God in his love and in his mercy sent his only begotten son to a place called Calvary. With nails in his hands and nails in his feet, a sword on his side, and a crown of thorns upon his brow. And there he suffered and bled for your iniquity and for your sin. He who knew no sin became sin. The pure Son of God became sin, your sin, that day. So much so that the sun refused to shine. Darkness fell upon the earth in midday. They say, oh, that must have just been an eclipse. Not for 4 hours, it was, or 3 hours it wasn't. And then he cried out, my God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? At that moment, Jesus became sin and died the sinner's death that you and I deserve. The Father broke union with his Son just as he will break union with you on Judgment Day. But then Jesus said, it is finished. I paid the price. I made the atonement. It is finished. Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And he died. And that's why the Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you're not sure of your eternal destiny this morning, can I beg you, can I plead with you to come to Jesus? Be saved. Give him your heart. Give him your life. Turn from. If there's any question or any doubt and you don't have that assurance, get that this morning. And today call upon his name that he might save you. Christian, today, you don't have to live in despair. You don't have to carry the burden. You don't have to carry that load. Jesus is there to help you. Would you call on his name and do it today? Sister, would you come to the piano, please, wherever you may be, and thank you. This is what the Lord's offering you. What is your testimony today? If we were to have, we won't, but if we were to have testimony, will somebody be able to stand and say, like David, he brought me out of a horrible pit. Why will you not come up with God? Next time there's a testimony time, you're going to stand and give God a testimony of his grace. I thank God for his goodness. All you need to say. And then sit down. That is saying a lot. At least you show the devil whose side you're at. But this morning, if you've never opened your heart to Jesus, would you do that this morning? And Christian, would you lay your burden with him? Receive his healing of your burden, his hope, his help, for heaven awaits you at the end of the way. Can you bow your heads in prayer, please? While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm going to have a word of prayer. We'll sing a song and we'll go home. Does this hour mean anything to you? Or has it just been an hour that's passed in church and you just can't wait to get home and watch the big game? Or this morning, did God touch you inside? You know it. You sensed it. This morning, are you ready to meet God? Don't play games with him. But are you ready to meet God this morning? I'd like to pray for you. I'm not going to call your name. I don't do that. I might not even know it. I'm not going to walk down where you are. I don't seek to embarrass you. But I'd like to pray for you. Because you don't have to die and go to hell. You could have the assurance of salvation in Jesus Christ. Not because of a little prayer, not because of a church, not because of a sacrament, not because of all and any of these things, but because you have called on the name of Jesus in repentance for salvation. And I'd like to help you do that this morning. Would you let me? You say, preacher, I don't want to die and go to hell. I want to be sure I'm saved this morning. Would you just raise your hand and let me see? Put it up high enough and long enough that I might recognize it and know you want me to pray for you today. How many this morning is your preacher? I don't want to go to hell. I want to be saved and give my heart to Jesus. From the youngest to the oldest among us, would you let me pray for you? Just slip your hand up high enough, put it up high enough, long enough that I could just see and acknowledge it. And I remember you in prayer. God bless you, sir. Thank you. You can put it down. Anyone else this morning say, preacher, get me in on that. I don't want to miss out the greatest opportunity of all of knowing Jesus. Father, I pray for our hearts this morning. That each one would have that assurance of salvation. And for Christians, dear God, that they would this morning say, Lord, you brought me up out of a horrible pit. Thank you. And perhaps, Lord, they'd even like to leave where they are and come to an altar this morning and say, God, thank you for bringing me up out of that horrible pit. Thank you for the testimony you've given me. And God, may I, like David, continually tell your praises, sing your songs, that others may hear it and to know that you are a great God, able to save them also. Pray, Lord, that the assurance of salvation would rest upon each one today in the name which is above every name, that is the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, and look up this way? The moment has come. All the hymns that we sung led to this point. All the preaching that was done to bring us to this point, place of decision. In a moment, you won't need your hymn book, but in a moment, not quite yet, but in a moment, our sister's going to play a song on the piano. If you do not have that assurance of salvation, maybe you raised your hand, maybe you didn't. But I'm going to ask you to do before God what Jesus did for you on the cross, where he openly went and died in your place. And maybe you raised your hand for salvation, maybe you didn't, but the need is still there. I'm going to ask you to step out from where you are when the piano plays and meet me down here at front, in the front. Christian, God did something good for you, didn't he? He brought you out of that horrible pit. Some of you are going back to it. Let God pull you back out. Maybe you need to say this morning, God, help me keep walking the right way. Establish my goings, Lord. Teach me your way, and I will follow you. Maybe you'll be willing to step out and come to an altar and say, God, you lead, I follow. Sister, would you play, please? As she plays right now. So someone be willing to just step out and come right now. God bless you, brother. That's right. Amen. Is someone else, this one, lead the way? Young man, young people, would you let God direct you? Would you be willing to say, God, yeah, direct me, Lord. Would you just come? Step out from where you are. Someone's in there, just let them know you want to get out. They'll let you out. Would you let God lead you? Would you let God direct you? Would you do that? And would you step out? And others come. Would someone else come? You just come right now. God touched your heart. We're not going to linger long, but we're not going to brush this off as being non-essential. Would you come right now? Would you meet me down here? Let God have his way. Praise God, brother, sister. Come on. Some of you are struggling. Someone's in a battle, and you say, I say, you come. You come. God bless you, sister. God bless you, mother. God bless you. God bless you. I said, it's okay. God bless you, brother. God bless you so much. I'm glad you came. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Yes. Are you saved? Yes. God bless you. I'm going to pray with them. God bless you. Let me pray with you, Father. Out of the miry clay, he set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. I got something to sing about. Put a new song in my mouth. As we leave here in a moment, Pastor will come and close the service. When we leave here, leave rejoicing. Leave with a song on your heart. And somebody says, what makes you so happy today? Says, I'm happy because I know Jesus. Do you know him? From the joy of the Lord. Whatever burden you have, God wants to. If your burdens aren't lifted, it's not God's fault. You just didn't bring it to him. But it's not too late. God help you to do it. Pastor, would you come, please?
Certainly don't want to quench the spirit if he's moving, but we're going to turn on hymnals number 270. And no instruments, so we're just going to sing it a cappella. Lord, I need you. Number 270. And just lifting our voice up before the Lord, and listen, as you sing this song and God speaking to your heart, the altar is still open. Whatever on your mind you're thinking about, this is the most important hour of a decision you're going to have to make in your entire lives at this point. Sometimes when life seems gentle and blessings flood my way, I turn my gaze away from you and soon forget to pray. And all those things that transpire in our Christian lives, and we begin to get on that slippery slope once again. Lord, I need you. If you really have made a decision that you really need the Lord, just sing it this morning. Just put some feet to the words and come to the altar. Meet with the Lord before you leave here this morning. 270, Steve, if you get a start on this sometimes.
Sometimes when life seems gentle,
just the voices, no instruments, just our voices on the second, just voices.
Lord, help me to remember, I'm weak, but you are strong. I cannot sing apart from you, for Lord, you are my song.
Someone after the service, Brother Dan, Sister Faith will be available, my wife, myself will be available to just talk with you if you need to have someone deal a little more fully. We'll be glad to do that. For those who have joined us via the internet this morning, I'd encourage you too, if God's spoken to your heart. You made a decision for salvation or maybe towards rededication. Let us hear from you today, so that we can pray for you. We want to lift your name up, just as we'll lift up other names here today before the Lord. We want to lift yours up too. So get in touch with us. Let us know so we can pray for you. Father, we thank you for this time we can be together. Lord, we thank you for the decisions that have been made. How powerful is your word to move hearts, to move people. Lord, it can move hearts. It can move homes. It can move a nation.
Yes.
Father, we need to have our hearts moved so that our homes can be moved, so then that our nation can be moved. Lord, I be honest with you, I see oftentimes in our homes a lack of real leadership. It's almost as if there's flailing, having no idea of whether the decisions are good decisions or wise decisions. You're just out there making decisions. Lord, I see the same for our country. Men who and women who are flailing around, recognizing that there is a real problem, but Lord, not knowing how to solve the problem. And so they flail, throwing out decisions left and right, the same as is in the home, sometimes Christian homes, many times Christian homes. And simply making decisions that make matters worse rather than better. Lord, we just sang the song, a beautiful song. Lord, I need you. And Lord, we do. Father, for those who came forward, those who raised their hands, and Lord, those upon whose hearts you are now still working, may we be mindful of each and every day from one set of circumstances to another that we need you more than we could possibly imagine. Father, hearken to the desperate need of many hearts to bring about the changes that you so much desire. And Father, we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory. Now, Father, dismiss us with thy blessings, we pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And all God's people say,
Amen.
6 o'clock tonight, amen.
Amen.